Don't Depend on Daddy is an unfiltered safe space, empowering young professionals to build independence in their 20s and beyond, whether it be personal, professional, or financial. Regardless of your age, relationship status, or job title, the most consistent person in your life is you. So join me and let's build our independence together. Enjoy. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host. And today we are celebrating 1 year of living alone because on Friday, March 8th, that is going to be my 1 year anniversary of moving into my own apartment. And I feel like the last year has been an incredibly transformative period of time. So today I'm going to be sharing a handful of lessons that I've learned in the year that I have been so lucky so far to have been able to live alone. Before we get into the bulk of the episode, I have a few things that we're going to go through. First being something that has been weighing on me over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to do my best to keep this short, quick, and concise because I know the majority of you listening to this actually enjoy listening to the podcast, obviously, because that's normal behavior. You know, you tune into podcasts you like to listen to. What I have learned is that we have some silent haters. And if you have been listening lately, you know I've mentioned if you have constructive criticism to share with me, please do so privately as to not post it on podcast reviews or Apple reviews because people really do take those seriously when they're deciding if they want to give a podcast a chance. And we have a couple of haters who have taken it upon themselves to not respect that, which I find to be so incredibly rude and annoying. So I do just want to say, if you are someone who feels so self-righteous that you listen to a podcast and you go against what the host has politely asked you to do, to go leave a rude review, which if you'd like to go read them, you are more than welcome to. I completely disagree. I think their takes that are, I think that what's frustrating about it to me is that both of them are on the same tune of like, this isn't a finance podcast, and it's like you not understanding what the podcast is not my problem. Like, read the description, listen to the intro. If you think this is a finance-specific podcast, you're mistaken. I feel like I've been pretty clear as of late that that is not what this is. But I just found it to be really disrespectful and really frustrating. And as a creator who is constantly criticized from every single angle, the podcast is really my space that I have created to like share what I actually want to share what's on my mind, be a little bit more real and vulnerable. And so criticism of the podcast is something that I do take personally. And so again, if you are someone who is a keyboard warrior and you feel the need to listen to something, actively go against something that I've politely asked, and be self-righteous enough to post about it publicly, I definitely recommend that you go seek professional help because something is wrong with you. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Again, if you have constructive feedback to share, I am all ears should you do it privately. You can send me an email. You can send me a DM. I'm happy to hear it. If you go against my wish and post it publicly, I will shame you because I think we need to bring back shame in 2024. People are way too comfortable being critical for no freaking reason. So that's that. And if you are enjoying the podcast, I'm sorry to start it off on a negative note. We're done with that. And if you like the podcast, like I said, go leave me a nice review. It does mean a lot to me. And clearly I do read them. Now let's quickly get into the housekeeping and then we will get into the bulk of this episode. First things first, as always, you can use the code PODCAST1 for $10 off the personal finance dashboard that will never expire. If you are someone who is looking to refresh your finances, maybe do a little spring cleaning for your financials, or you're new on your financial journey, you should download the financial plan checklist. And what downloading that checklist will do is take you through a 4-day totally free email crash course. Highly recommend that you do that if you're looking to sort of overhaul things, go through a financial snapshot, build your first budget, all that. Also, if you are interested in joining the Break Your Budget Inner Circle, which is my basically like accountability community, every Monday we have accountability calls for our weekly money reviews, we chat, all that kind of stuff. On Monday, March 11th, so a couple of days after this episode is going up, I am bringing in Rachel Aguirre, who is the head of product at BlackRock Investment, so a big, huge investment firm, and she is hosting a masterclass alongside me where we are discussing how to invest for retirement and just investing questions overall. So if you are someone who is interested in learning how to do investing for retirement on your own, not hire a financial advisor, learn how to calculate how much money you actually need for retirement, learn how to invest that money, learn about ETFs, different stock options, all of that, come join the class. It's inside the circle, so it's $10 for the month, but you don't have to remain inside the inner circle beyond that if you're not looking for support beyond the masterclass. You can also watch prior masterclasses as well during the time that you are in the inner circle, so highly recommend you come join. I'll make sure all of that's linked in the show notes. Now, let's move on to the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of this week, which I'm actually sharing something that isn't necessarily independence, but it's something that has been harder for me to do in my own life because I always feel guilty if I'm not being productive. And that is, this past weekend, I granted myself a full rot day. It was so lovely. Basically, on Saturday of this past weekend, it was raining and I was just a little bit hungover and I was like, today's my day. And so I woke up around like 9 o'clock and I made my coffee. I sat on the couch and I did not get up until like 3. I went on a walk, cleaned up my apartment and stuff, did some errands like groceries and everything. And then I stayed in on Saturday night and continued watching movies. I watched all 3 of the 50 Shades of Grey movies, which are, you know, obviously a little bit dark and twisted, but really good. I was in the mood to like feel something. I don't know if anybody listening can relate, but that was my Saturday. It was so lovely. I never let myself sit around and do nothing. I honestly think it's because in LA, specifically on the weekends, like if the weather is good, I feel guilty staying home and being unproductive. So the rain was a really good excuse for me to take advantage of just hanging around guilt-free. And I felt so much more relaxed. I didn't think about work and I just feel, it's Monday morning now, I'm feeling really good. So that was my Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. As a reminder, these are anything that happens in your life or my life where we want to call it out, moments that get overlooked. So if you have a Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week that you would like to submit, there's always a link in the show notes and you are more than welcome to share it. So with that, we are done with our housekeeping and we will now move into the lessons that I've learned from living alone. I have 4 lessons and they all sort of have like subtopics underneath them. But the TLDR here is that it's been 1 year since I moved into my apartment and I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and have become really self-reliant, almost to a fault, which I have talked about a little bit on my episode last week. I'm really working on not being hyper-independent and allowing people to do things for me, which is a little bit challenging because by nature of living alone, like I have to do everything by myself, but outside of my apartment, I guess I'm trying to be less hyper-independent. And it's been a very transformative year for me ever since moving into this apartment, and I feel really lucky to have the opportunity to live alone for a period of time because I know that not everybody gets to do this for so many reasons, you know, the financials, or maybe you meet your partner early on and you just don't get to live alone really. And I'm so incredibly grateful that I am in a position where I can afford to live alone and I'm able to really thrive in this environment. So that being said, I have 4 lessons that I'm going to share and let's just get right into it. Lesson number 1 is I have learned that there is a difference between being lonely and being independent with a desire to share your life with others. I've experienced a lot of loneliness, which I've shared more about in last week's episode, all about, you know, navigating loneliness in your 20s. So go listen to that if you want to hear more about that particular perspective. But it's been through spending so much time alone that I've not only learned how to become my own best friend, but I've also realized that I do truly have a desire to share the life that I've built for myself with somebody else. And I think a lot of people, specifically women, have become really hyper-independent. And if I could speak, I don't need a man era has gotten a lot of attention on TikTok, which I'm obviously so here for, because I think being independent is arguably the most important thing you can do for yourself, especially as a woman. But independence and sharing a life aren't mutually exclusive, and I don't think they really should be or need to be. And for so long, I was the kind of person who was like, I can do everything by myself and I don't need anyone else to help me and I'm good on my own. And I still don't feel like I need anyone to help me with anything. I mean, I'm financially independent. I can take care of my apartment. Like, I have friends. I can do everything really that I need to on my own. But I have finally come to a point, and I have learned this through living alone, because I feel like in other instances of my 20s, I've felt like I've gotten to this point, and I look back on those moments and I'm like, I truly wasn't there yet. But I feel like I have finally come to a point where I'm like, okay, I really do have this desire to share my life with someone else, and I'm ready to prioritize making that happen in the best way that I can. And so I've learned as a result of this realization, I guess, that I've had and been unable to truly admit up until this point, I've learned that the absence of loneliness, so not feeling lonely alone, doesn't mean that I don't want a partner or want a relationship or don't need a relationship. We need human connection, and sometimes becoming so self-reliant can pigeonhole you down into like isolation, which is not something I want. And it can also make you really cold and averse to letting relationships into your life, or, you know, less trustworthy and everything. And I'm trying to soften my exterior to be a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more feminine, which I don't want to do the whole like feminine thing, but just really pulling the curtain back and taking the mask off and everything and allowing people into my life. And I've learned through this realization that you do really need to make a major effort to reach out and have social interactions when you live alone. It's important to prioritize this too, because it's easy to stay at home and not talk to anyone. Like, it is so easy for me to stay in my little bubble, to not reach out and to just go about my life, because I have become so independent, and like, I have my hobbies and I have my routines and I have my work and I have all of my things set up and I just sort of do the things that I want to do. And because I'm comfortable in that routine, that's my default. Like, that's easy for me. But I don't want to be that way forever. I think I've recognized how grateful I am that I've gotten to this point and that I've been able to create a life for myself where I don't regularly feel lonely when I'm alone. Those periods of loneliness happen because I am a person, you know, I feel things. But now that I've learned to be comfortable with myself, comfortable with who I am, comfortable with the phase of life I'm in, I have also become comfortable with admitting both to myself and on the internet, and I guess on this podcast, that I do desire having somebody to share my life with in, you know, like a romantic way. Like I have said before, I would like a boyfriend. So being lonely and or not being lonely is not mutually exclusive with not wanting a relationship. Like, you can be comfortable in your solitude and still desire human connection. And I think social media has created this space where becoming independent is the most important, desirable thing for women, specifically single women or women who have just gone through a breakup or who are in a toxic relationship. And I think what that does is it makes it look like or center your life around only relying on yourself, and then as a result, not opening yourself up to the desire to have a relationship. And I don't want that to be my life, I guess. So the lesson in conclusion here is I've learned the difference between being lonely and being independent with a desire to share my life. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that it is no one else's responsibility to create my happiness. It's my own. And this is a realization I've had through not having a roommate and not having other people constantly around. So like, again, through this solitude, I guess, of working from home alone, not coming home to a bunch of roommates, not living at home with my parents, I just naturally have more time to like ruminate. And because I don't have roommates and stuff to distract me, I've had to learn how to cope and deal with my emotions as they come up. In the past, like if I was feeling sad or, you know, something in my life was causing me inner turmoil, I could rely on a roommate coming home or having somebody else there to distract me. Whereas now I really do have to rely on myself to solve the problem on my own, whether it be an internal problem or an external problem. And it's driven me to pursue different hobbies and different interests in a quest to really find ways to deal with that and find the things that make me truly happy. I do feel like I know exactly what will make me truly happy in my life at now, where up until I've, you know, kind of gone on this self-discovery journey, I guess, as a result of living alone, I was floundering. And I don't necessarily feel like I've fully stopped floundering. Like, I don't think the floundering ever stops in your life, but I feel a lot more confident in the fact that, like, I know what I want my life to look like, and now it's really just a matter of me getting out into the world and sort of making it happen. And then beyond that, it's driven me to create routines that really do serve me without having to think about someone else's routine and how it impacts me or how my routine impacts them. When you have a roommate, you really need to think about and consider somebody else. So like in the morning, that's not waking someone else up, which can limit what you can do in your morning routine. Or at night, you know, your roommate comes home really late and it wakes you up and it disrupts what you want to do. Like having a roommate in general, there is a degree or lack of selfishness that you can really have because there is somebody else sharing that space who has the right to that space in the same way that you do. So like you can't be like, oh, you can't do that because they also live there and you have to be considerate of that other person. Whereas living alone truly allows you to be selfish with your time, what you do, how you operate within the apartment. And that has really created a sense of happiness and stability in my life that I don't feel like I've had when I have had roommates. I do feel like my internal peace and internal happiness has come from the fact that I don't have to worry about somebody else all up in my space, if that makes sense. And I do know that a day will come in the next, hopefully, few years, because we are manifesting that, where I'm living with someone and I'll have to sort of regress, I guess, in this space. But for the time that I have where I'm able to live alone and have my own little sanctuary of happiness and peace, I am really, really, really enjoying it. And I love that I have just like a place to retreat to, if that makes sense. The third lesson is I've learned how to become completely self-reliant, which is different than hyper-independent. Self-reliance to me is building confidence and like keeping promises to myself and showing up for myself in my space so that I can operate at the level I need to in order to keep my business moving forward and like make enough money so that I can pay my bills and stuff. Because you don't really have to think about anyone else. Living alone allows you to create that space, which I'm so happy about. And it's allowed me to become, you know, entirely self-reliant. And a couple examples of this include cleaning. So obviously, living alone, if my house needs to be cleaned, I have to do it. I am the one who has to like take out the trash and keep everything organized and not let chores pile up. And I've learned that I do this best by doing small things every day instead of doing like one big full reset day. I do have reset days. I just don't have them every single week because I don't feel like I need to because I keep my apartment clean every day. Whereas before when I had a roommate, like we would sort of divide and conquer and she would take over things that I didn't really like to do. I would do the things that she didn't really like to do. And I just am so particular about cleaning and cleanliness in general. So living alone for me has been really beneficial in this way, because I know that when I leave, like I'm coming back to my apartment the way I left it. And if I want to have a clean apartment, then I need to do it. I can't transfer that blame to someone else. Whereas I feel like when you have a roommate, you can be like, oh, well, it's her turn to take out the trash, or it's their turn to clean the counters, or it's their turn to do the vacuuming. And it sort of transfers something that you could do to someone else. You lose or relinquish that level of control. And I think it breeds resentment. Where since I'm now responsible for all of the cleaning, I rely on myself and I know that if I do it, it'll get done. Next is cooking. And so this is another thing that has been so fun for me because in prior apartments, since it was shared space and like space is limited, I could never get all of the appliances and pots and pans and things that I really wanted. And so I never felt like I had a kitchen space that was my own. I never felt like I could really lean into this interest. And now because I can have been able to create my own kitchen area and like buy the appliances that I want and have a Dutch oven and have my coffee machine and have the pots and pans that I wanted and get a KitchenAid and have my nice cutting board because I know someone else isn't going to ruin it. Like being able to have all of those things has been so calming for my mind because now I know at the end of the day, like if I want to relax and unwind, I have everything I need to go in and cook my own little meal and just enjoy that time for myself, which I don't feel like I was ever able to do. And I've learned as a result that I really do enjoy cooking. Whereas before, I never really knew that I liked it because every time I was in the kitchen, it was always like, got to get in and get out. And I didn't have the tools that I needed to enjoy the experience. So that's another example here of how I've become fully self-reliant and learned how to become, I think, a little bit more selfish with my time. And the last one is decorating and just like home decor in general. Living in my apartment has been the first time in my life where I felt I could really and truly create a home that is mine, that feels like my home. And it's a work in progress, as I think it will always be. Like I feel like especially when you live alone, your space is never done because there's so many things you need for your house and curating them all on your own is really expensive. I do have things in my apartment that I'd like to continue doing, but I'm almost like, is it even worth it? But in general, I'm really happy with my space because I feel like in my current space, it's decorated the way I like, and your environment has such an impact on how you feel. Whereas in prior apartments, I was never the one who was in charge of decorating or took charge for decorating because I'm like, I share this apartment with someone else. Any furniture I have in here, I'm probably not going to take with me. And like, I don't know. In my last apartment in LA, it was very like black and white kind of vibes on the inside, which is not my style for decor. And my roommate really wanted to be the one to like buy things and decorate. So I kind of let her do it. And it's not that I didn't like the apartment. It just wasn't my style. So it never truly felt like home. And if you have roommates, you can relate to this. Like I feel like not having a space that you can have control over decorating, or at least more control over decorating, can make it feel like you're just living in someone else's house. And so having the space to be able to decorate on my own has taught me a lot about what I like, what I don't like, how I operate. And it's been a really cool experience. So to summarize for lesson three, I've learned how to become fully self-reliant and not think about anyone else and create my own space, which is not something you really ever consider or think about until you live in your own apartment. And lesson number four is that I've truly learned who I am. And when I mean who I am, I've learned about how I react to things and how I cope with problems in private, which again is not something that I feel like you truly understand or know about yourself until you are truly alone. Like when you live with roommates and stuff, it's hard. At least it was hard for me always to like let that guard down. And so by being alone and having the privacy, I guess, to sort of cope with things as they've come up, I've become a lot more self-aware of how I deal with all types of problems. So problems, inner problems like mental health problems, problems with friends or, you know, other problems externally, problems with work. I've discovered what are my triggers, how do I react to those things, and how do I self-soothe when I'm not concerned or worried about how somebody else is perceiving my reaction. Very, very interesting insights to learn about. I'm not going to dive too deep on that on this last one because it's obviously, you know, I feel like a little bit more private. But I guess the cliff notes here are that I've learned about myself. I am a catastrophizer. So I definitely always think about worst case scenarios and I tend to project those worst case scenarios onto my reality, which is so ridiculous. Like I operate under the assumption that the worst thing is going to happen to me and there's no other way or no alternate reality, which is just not true. I've definitely discovered about myself that I need to work on how to stay present and not allow my thoughts to be real when they're not real. I've also learned that I'm a very reactive person in the moment. So like I'll react to something negatively and then I'll actually think on it and learn that I need to like take a deep breath before I react or respond to something, because generally if I wait a moment and am able to let it go, it doesn't bother me as much, which before I would either react to something negatively and like cause an issue with someone, i.e. a roommate, or I would let things fester and eventually explode, where that obviously is also not productive. Living alone has made me truly aware of those kinds of behaviors and how to operate as a mature adult when things make me uncomfortable. And I genuinely think that a lot of people in their late 20s still don't know how to do this. And I don't think that living alone is like going to solve that problem, obviously, but it's definitely helped me a lot. And the last layer of this is that my self-awareness, I think, has also transcended outside of my home. So because I feel so at peace in my apartment and like I feel so comfortable here, anytime I go out, I can now much more easily recognize when I am around people, places, or things that feel misaligned to me. I've found my center, if that makes sense. And so I've found almost like that homeostasis setting. And this is where I come home to come back to homeostasis. And anytime I'm out and about, if I'm feeling like, oh, I'm around someone who's making me not feel really great, I think I'm just more aware of identifying that because I've now truly felt at peace. Whereas when I've lived with other people, it's like you go home and obviously like, you know, you go home, your home is your home regardless. But when you're, again, thinking about other people and even subconsciously, it's like, oh, I have a roommate. Is she home? Or when is she coming home or whatever? You're not as centered. You're not as at peace, if that makes sense. And so I just wasn't as in tune with recognizing people, places, or things that felt misaligned because I didn't truly feel aligned and at peace. And now that I feel that way, I think I've become just a little bit more ruthless around, again, people, places, and things that make me feel off or not so good about myself. So yeah, that's lesson number 4. Overall, just like self-discovery and learning about who I am at my core and how I react to things and cope with things and feel really centered. So those are the 4 lessons. And to summarize, lesson number 1 is there is a difference between being lonely and being independent with a desire to share your life with others. If I've learned anything about like becoming my own best friend and getting comfortable with being alone, it's that you can exist alone and also want to have someone to share your life with, and they don't need to be mutually exclusive. The second lesson is that it's no one else's responsibility to create my own happiness. It's mine. And I need to put myself in situations and learn how to develop hobbies and routines in order to find purpose in my life with or without someone. Lesson number 3 is I've learned how to become fully self-reliant because I don't have to think on anyone else and I'm able to create my own space in a way that allows me to thrive. So through cleaning and cooking and decorating, I've really learned how to be there for myself and show up for myself in ways that in the past I've been able to rely on other people to do for me. And lesson number 4 is related to self-discovery and really truly learning who I am at my core, how I respond to things, because my home has become my state of homeostasis. Again, living alone is a privilege, which I fully recognize. I'm very lucky and grateful that I've been able to financially afford living alone. And I truly am, although I've struggled with coming to this conclusion, I guess, I truly am grateful that the way my life has sort of turned out has given me the opportunity to live alone for this period of time. I'm doing my best to be really grateful that I get this experience, knowing that it will come to an end at some point. So If you are someone who is, you know, thinking about living alone, or maybe you recently moved into your own apartment alone and you're feeling kind of lonely, or you're sad to be living alone, which I don't think a lot of people are sad to be living alone. It really is the best thing ever. But if you are falling into one of those categories, I think hopefully this episode either puts your mind at peace or lets you know that you're not alone in feeling however you are feeling about this phase of your life. So hopefully this was helpful. I know it's a little bit shorter than my usual episodes. And with that, I will catch you in the next one.